Guys, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to finish the chapter today. We're just going to make it to verse 26. But I'm going to go ahead and read everything that we've already been over. And we're going to have a brief summary. And this will be the last time we're going to summarize this chapter. Next week, the next portion that we're going to be looking at is really going to be a jump off into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Their diversity of gifts, but of the same Spirit. Their diversity of ministries, but of the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, giving greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no cynicism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Remember, we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ as He bestows the different gifts upon the body. And here's what we've covered so far. First, you can't start looking at the gifts unless you get an idea of who the Holy Spirit is, who He is and what He does. And remember what Jesus said to Peter, John, and all the rest of the boys. I will not leave you as orphans. John 14:15-8. It says, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and I'll pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. In truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's not a force. He's not an it. Doctrinally, He's the third person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes folks view the Holy Spirit as well, something from Star Wars. You know, the Force. No, He is a person. He is a person. The Holy Spirit has a threefold relationship with you and I. John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him, but you know Him because He dwells with you and will be in you. First, prior to conversion, the Holy Spirit's coming alongside and He's convicting. He's opening our eyes. He's unstopping our ears. He's stirring our hearts to the fact that we need to get saved. That's what happened to my nephew Cain. The Holy Spirit come alongside. Really, I had no part to play in it other than just being available. That was it. That was it. The Holy Spirit was moving on that little 10-year-old boy and convicting him and pressing upon him to start asking questions about who Jesus is. Remember who we were prior to conversion and how we got saved. It wasn't because someone had some slick presentation. It was because the Holy Spirit was working. Secondly, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us after we're saved, after conversion. He says, I will be in you. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for by the day of redemption. It's funny, you can be in Walmart or somewhere, and you can kind of brush up to somebody, and you can start a conversation. And sometimes, most of the times, we can identify that that person's a Christian. Why? There's an identification of the Spirit, right? We know when we're saved, just like we know when we're not saved. I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine yesterday about, you know, communion. When we have communion, it's for believers, and we let people know that, hey, this is for believers. But, you know, in a setting such as this, when you're around folks for a long period of time, you kind of have an idea who believers are and who believers are not. But then sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit may check you. Because how many people have we known that have been in church their whole lives, and then all of a sudden they get saved? Their wife is saved, their kids are saved, but they have not been saved. Maybe they just filled out a little card one time when they were 10 or 9 years old, or maybe they said a little prayer, but it wasn't a real conversion. And the thing is, when you find yourself 60 or 70 years old, and you've been in church your whole life, man, that is a big deal for someone to say, you know what, I've not been saved all these years. It's a huge thing. So what is the point in all that? Is when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we know that we're saved. If we're not saved, there'll be this nagging on us, will it not? And then thirdly, and it's often overlooked, the Holy Spirit fills us and overflows us to impact the culture around us. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 20, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we are a different group of folks. We're a spiritual group of folks, right? We looked at the fact that Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of the spirituals in verse 1. It's as if Paul's finally saying, okay, let's stop with the carnality talk. Let's move on to something that's a little bit better. And I don't want you to be ignorant of the spirituals, the entire manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Remember, these were a gifted group of folks in this church. If you look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, they had knowledge. They had gifts. They were about the Lord's business. But as we've been tracking through this book, we also have realized that, you know, they were carnal and they were fleshly. Paul says, let's move on from that. And in verse 2, we don't base the things of God on our previous background. Remember, our previous background's kind of way off base. And sometimes when we view the Holy Spirit or we view the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it may be upon some teaching that we once had or whatever. Paul says, you know what? You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Which brings us to the question, how do we know when it's a work of the Holy Spirit? Because in verse 3, see, there was a rumor going around that if someone was speaking in their prayer language, that they could have been cursing God. And that's not true, because he says this, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. See, when we judge things, if it's a work of the Holy Spirit, we judge them on how they relate to Jesus. Do they glorify Jesus? Matter of fact, Jesus said this, John 15:26, when the Helper comes, I shall send to you the Father. The Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. He will testify me. He will glorify. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. John 16:14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. So in matters of discerning spiritual gifts, remember to judge them based on how they relate to Jesus. Do they glorify Jesus? Do they promote Jesus? Or do they promote a false Jesus? Is he getting the glory? Is he becoming a clearer picture to folks? If it's all about the person and their little thing, I have to ask myself whether or not that was of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of ministries, unfortunately, that kind of focus on one little particular thing, and that becomes their little niche, right? All of a sudden, well, we're the ministry that does this, and then Jesus kind of gets pushed to the side. So if we're going to judge something on whether it's of the Holy, if it's whether of Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes it, gives us a clear picture of who the Lord Jesus is. We come here based on what? Because we want to worship the Lord and we want to get a clear picture of who He is. We don't want to just be Bible study people. We want to be interacting with the Lord and growing near to the Lord, right? Finally, verses 4 through 6, there's diversity and the unity of gifts. Paul lists 9 gifts here and other gifts elsewhere in Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. But more importantly, as we look through this, yes, there's a diversity of gifts, but remember, there's one person who's giving out the gifts. It's God. God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, there's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. Right? It's the Lord. And what we're going to go and where we're going to be this morning is we're going to understand. And I pray that it's communicated clearly that we're all on the same team. We're all on the same team, right? Ministries is offices. Activities is energy. All right? So then finally, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's not that the Holy Spirit's not always present among Christians. John 4:16 says, I pray to the Father, He will give another helper that He may abide with you forever. But in certain instances, within these gifts that He has listed here, the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, whether it's teaching, whether it's evangelism, and these are things He didn't even mention in here. I'm pulling it from other places. Wisdom, word of knowledge, healings, miracles. And like I said before, we shouldn't be so shocked that God heals people. What we should be shocked in the fact that people actually charge healing miracle places where people show up and charge them for that. That's what we should be shocked about. All through the Bible, there's evidence of healings that take place. And then prophecy, discerning the spirits. And like I said, we will jump into tongues in a few weeks. But it's the same Spirit who works all these things, distributing to each one individually. And oh man, if we could grab a hold of that. That our Lord in His grace and His mercy chooses to use us. Okay? And He fits us properly. I think if we're discontent, maybe we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. We will find no greater joy, I truly believe, when we're doing exactly what God's called us to do and He's gifting us to do it. His thoughts towards us are not haphazard. He doesn't say, well, you know, I really enjoy this. Okay, I'm going to just, this is what this person gets to do because I like them so much more than you. Here's what you can go do. This is a little leftover for you. That's not what the Lord thinks. I think we think that sometimes. That's not how He thinks. Man, when we got saved, He's like, oh my goodness, here's this incredible gift that I'm giving you. And here's how I'm going to... Oh, right, here's your ministry. God gives us our ministry. And then, well, what do we act? You know, I shared the story about my brother and his truck last week. And you remember that. My parents bought him this first truck. And he turned his nose up at it. That just shocked me. How can you do that? But how many times have we done the same thing with what the Lord's called us to do? Psalm 1... 39 verse 1 through 6, and we'll dive into the text. You search me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You've hedged me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. I mean, just think about that. God put His hand on us. Think about that. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain it, to be used by God. What an incredible... We get saved. And then He says, hey, I want to use you in the expansion of my kingdom. I want to use you in blessing my other kids. What a blessing. What a blessing. Okay, let's look at this. Verse 12 through 26. We're all on the same team. Christianity is team-oriented. This is a fact. We belong to the body of Christ if we're saved. Let's look at verse 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, Paul's going to use this illustration, the human body towards the body of Christ. But all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. It is a fact. The body, like unity we have in Christ, is not a goal we long to achieve, but rather it is a fact we need to realize. Think about that. Just as gravity is a fact. You all know if you jump off a cliff, gravity is going to pull you down and you are going to hit the earth, right? It is a fact that if we are saved today, that we are a part of the body of Christ. We are a member of the body of Christ. Unity is not something that we have to try to achieve or get to. We just got to realize the fact of that's where we're at and that's what's going on. If we're saved today, we're a part of the body of Christ. And we have a very important part to play in the body of Christ. There's no such thing as a long-ranger Christian. So let's look at some of the facts. 12 through 14. What is baptism, is Paul referring to? It's not the water baptism after we get saved, a public identification with Christ, right? Look at what he's saying in verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, the Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. When we get saved, we become a part of the body of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. It does not matter what our background is, what color we are, what gender. We're in the body. It's a fact. We become part of the body of Christ, and we're given new DNA that will manifest itself in a beautiful but diverse way, but in a united way. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such, there's no law. So see, when we're walking and when we get saved, we get into the body. Now, I also believe that, you know what, we get full of the Holy Spirit as well. But understand, being full of the Holy Spirit is going to manifest itself, as we'll see, in love. That's going to be the manifestation. So what good is all these incredible gifts we give if it's just about me coming to the forefront and trying to be a Bo Jackson? Some of you guys, you know who Bo Jackson is? Are you serious? You don't know who Bo Jackson is? How about Michael Jordan? He's no Bo Jackson. And as we're going to see, man, if the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit and the gifts that He gives us are just used trying to promote ourselves, which we're going to look at this in a minute, what a bummer. Love is going to be the motivation, and we'll see this. It goes on to say, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Think about a quilt. Do any of you ladies quilt? Margaret, my wife, does. And you have to understand something. It really makes a mess. I mean, you got this stuff laying around and stuff, and it really kind of bothers me. I'm not going to lie. But here's what I've learned watching her do this. Okay, watching her do this. As you guys all know, quilts have different patterns and different colors and different things, but they're often the same fabric, right? And when they're put together, it's not, you know, does any of you guys have quilts in your house? Do you have a quilt rack in your house? Because sometimes people like to display those things, you know. They like to display a quilt, unless it's a real ugly one and somebody picked a really ugly, you know, color scheme. You know, it can beautify a room, it can beautify a bedroom, but it's also very practical as well. It can keep you warm at night. You put a quilt on your bed. Now think about the body of Christ made up of all these different patches. Okay? But it serves a unique purpose. Not only is it beautiful to look at, but it's also very practical. It warms. It's being unified. It's being together. With the body of Christ, it is a fact. If we get saved, then guess what? We have been placed into the body of Christ. What makes us a Christian? We accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then what does He do? He indwells us with the Holy Spirit. He gives us new spiritual DNA. We're family. Well, you look at my son. Who does he look like? He looks like me. I pray he gets a few more inches on his height, but I don't think so. I'm watching him. He's not pushing it hard. You get the point. Now, Paul expands on the illustration of the body in 15 through 20, and listen to what he says. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Guys, we should never feel this way about the part we play in the body of Christ. We should never think this way about our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, meaning, I'm not that important, or my brothers and sisters are not that important. Do you realize every person in this room is very important? It's very important. Well, I'm not an eye. So what? Big whoop. What are you then? Get with the Lord and find out how He's gifted you and how He wants to use you. And understand, when we're talking about the body of Christ, we're not just talking about who's in this room. We're talking about the entire planet, the body of Christ, the folks that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Man, what's going on in Europe, or what's going on in India, or what's going on? Man, we ought to be just totally ecstatic about that and say, yeah, those are my brothers and those are my sisters. Man, I could have a part to play in that. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we have a water boy idea of what we're called to do. Who was in athletics in school? Okay. You remember that certain people kept stats? You remember the manager? He's usually the stat person or maybe the water boy type person. And I'm not saying anything bad about that, but I will say this. Sometimes, especially in high school, you know, kids are kind of mean, aren't they? And how do they treat those kids? That's just a water boy. That person's not part of the team. And sometimes, did you ever think that's what we think about our brothers and sisters with what the Lord may be calling them to do and what be equipping them to do, instead of looking at them as like, wow, this is part of the team here. This is a member of the body of Christ. Or how many times God has given us something to do and we had a water boy mentality. I'm just the water boy. I'm not like Bo Jackson. Just for a minute. Let's say, because Bo Jackson and I are not that far apart. He's a little bit older than I am. Let's say I played running back on the football team and he was the starter. Would I ever see the field? You're laughing because you're looking at me. Never. What if I was just the guy that gave Bo Jackson his water? You need to YouTube Bo Jackson, by the way. Seriously. Two sports. I mean, the guy was a phenom. He's a crazy athlete. But if there's nobody giving the water, there's no one getting hydrated, is there? So there's no reason for us to have a water boy mentality. I'm not part of the team. Or that other person's just a water boy, not part of the team. Question, how important is water to the team? It's very important. Everybody has an important part to play, and I pray that we would grab a hold of that. And you know what? I pray we'd be excited about what God has called each of us to do and understand that. Everybody has a very important part to play. Verse 17 is really just common sense. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smell? Imagine if every one of us in here were just gifted in just one gift. Just one gift. How boring would that be? What if everybody in here was just gifted in the gift of teaching? Boy, that would be kind of annoying, isn't it? Because there'd be nobody listening to anybody, would there? Imagine if everybody was just gifted in just the gift of helps, we would just be constantly getting on each other's nerves about how we're going to help or do this or do that. It would not be balanced, would it? Imagine if my body would just consisted of just being a big hand. That would look a little weird, wouldn't it? That's what Paul's saying. And now we see that these guys are really kind of focusing in on just one gift. And we'll look at that later, but I want us to understand something. What if a football team was just made up of guys that could punt the ball? They would specialize in what? Fourth down. And no one would score, would they? It's the same thing. Think about it. Now, verse 18 through 19. At the end of the day, remember these two facts about how the Lord has gifted us and what He's called us to do. Look at verse 18. It's a fact. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. God said, this is what I want you to do. We don't look at it that way, though, do we? We look at it of what we would like to do. But if the Creator of the universe says, okay, you're saved, and this is where you're going to be attached within the body, and this is how you're going to be gifted in the body, and He says, this is what pleased me, what should be our response? Our response should be about, this is about pleasing God, is it not? See, it simplifies the whole thing when our ministry is focused on the fact that, you know what, this is about pleasing the Lord. This is about seeing the Lord glorified. This is about seeing the Lord magnified. This is about seeing the Lord beautified. It changes everything. It's a fact that God chooses and God places and God gifts. And who are we to question Him? And we see this on two fronts. We see it on the front where, well, you know, I don't have any gifts. We see that. And then sometimes we see it on the front where it seems like, man, this person is just super incredibly talented. And they're like, well, look at me and everything. You didn't do anything to get that thing. That's what God called you to do. He was pleased to do that. See, there should be some humility involved in all these gifts. But let me ask you a question. When we start talking about spiritual gifts and this and that, how much humility is involved in all that sometimes? How many times have you seen folks just kind of walking around like a peacock with what God's given them to do? Well, it's a gift. It was pleased Him to do that. Number two fact, and it's often overlooked. See, because if we're kind of bummed out by what God's called us to do, or we're scared what God's called us to do. Listen to what Paul says. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? The Lord knows what He's doing. Trust in that. The Lord knows what He's doing. He says, you know, in my wisdom and what I'm doing here, this is what I've equipped and this is what I gifted you in. And, oh, man, you're going to just be such a blessing here. How many times have we looked at folks that have this gift or whatever that they may be out front and we're like, Lord, why'd you give that guy that thing? That's the Lord's deal. That's what the Lord decided to do. Think about these things. These are facts that were often overlooked. Paul said, if all were one member, where would the body be? We would be dead in the water. I am so thankful that the Lord would bring somebody here to be able to lead worship. You know what a bummer it is to do worship with like a CD or something? Because I've had to do it a couple of times, and you know the only one who's singing is me. And I can't sing. I'm not, God didn't gift me to do that thing. But I am so blessed that God would bring somebody to do that. You know what? I'm so blessed that God would bring folks that works with those kids back there. I'm blessed by that. I'm so blessed that God would equip someone to make this place where it looks nice and it's comfortable. I'm blessed by that. I'm so blessed by the fact that, you know what, that God's given some of you guys words of wisdom to me when I needed it, or God's equipped you with the gift of faith when I needed it. I'm so blessed by that. We need all of this. We need each other. We're on the same team. Who played team sports in school? Craig gave a, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but what made it so great to be on a team? Camaraderie. Man, if you go through two-a-days and you go through this or you go through that, it builds a special bond and you realize that everyone on the team is very important. Craig said something the other day. We were talking about the body of Christ and this and that, and he was using a band illustration. That in order for music to sound incredibly great, you don't necessarily need the most talented musicians. You need a group of folks willing to do what they're called to do within the song set. In other words, a person who's willing to do exactly what's needed on the drums, not go off on a solo and twist the drum and throw it up and then do that. You just need someone to just kind of come in on a song. You need someone on a backup to kind of just, it may just be playing a couple of chords to add to the beauty of the song. Or maybe someone with just that perfect backup vocal, not too loud, not too powerful, but just enough to know that the presence is there. It adds beauty to the music. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. It's the same way with the body of Christ. It adds beauty. It adds vibrance to the body. And you know, that takes pressure off of us. Who's an evangelist in here? Feel like you've been given the gift of evangelism? Okay. Who feels like they haven't been given the gift of evangelism? Who wants that pressure? You do. You get the gift, right? You know, it's kind of like teaching, or it's kind of like anything else, right? unless we're gifted in that, we don't need to be messing with it, because it's God the one who's equips it. It's God the one who's using it. Look at verse 20 through 26. But first 20 through 24, I'm sorry. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need of you. Nor the head can say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Or on the unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which it lacks. Verse 24 through 25. This is a fact. The less glamorous parts of the body are just as important than those parts that are seen. And guess what? They are very important in God, according to what the Lord has to say. There's no room for folks who the Lord may have up front to say to the folks who the Lord maybe have serving behind the scenes, I have no need of you. That's what Paul's getting at, if you want to know. I have no need of you. I mean, it would be your eye telling your hand, I have no need of you. Now, if your eye gets in a bind and gets something in its eye, it has need. Right? Or the head. I have no need of you, feet. Really, where are you going to go? You're going to have someone carry you. That's what he's saying. We're laughing. But we're going to see something here in a minute that just blew me away as I was looking at this. Okay? Because we're laughing. We're thinking this is such a childish illustration that everybody should get. We're going to see a point here in a minute. See, there's no room for folks to say there's no need of them. What Paul is getting at is having a puffed up heart, having an all-star heart. How about how the Lord has gifted us, or where the Lord has called us to serve the body of Christ? What good is an eye by itself, or a head by itself? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Because see, what he's getting at here is he's going to be talking about division here in a minute. And division can manifest itself two ways. Division can manifest itself in some person who just thinks they're just superly gifted and everybody else is just kind of not a cut above. Division also within the body of Christ can manifest itself, well, you know what, I'm just kind of behind the scenes, I'm not doing anything. And then that separation, that's what he's going to be getting at here in a minute. See, here's another fact, verse 22 through 24, and I've already read it, but I'm going to read it again. No, much rather, the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which seem to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts with greater modesty. But our unpresentable parts, we have no need. Clark said this about this illustration. The less honorable parts, the lungs, the stomach, the intestinal canal, these, when compared with the arms and limbs, are comparatively weak, and some of them are considered in themselves are uncommonly and less honorable, yet are more essential to life than the others. Think about that for a minute. You don't see your heart, do you? But man, if you don't have your heart, you're in a bind, right? That's what Paul's saying. He's like, these folks that you think that may not be that important, Church of Corinth, I want you to understand they are very important to the ministry. Because if these folks are not doing what they are being called to do, then guess what? The ministry's not going anywhere. And as the bigger the ministry gets, how much more important is it those folks who God's called to special niches behind the scenes? They are very important. My wife does numerous things that I'm so glad that the Lord's blessed me with her. Because, you know, I've learned what I'm gifted in and what I'm not gifted in. And you can ask Stephen. If Stephen wants to do something and he's called to do it, then you know what? Go do that thing. But praise God for you. You know, Tricia, and Joan and Carl. I could go on and on and on and on about how important people are. They're very important. And how important those gifts are and those giftings are. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks. Okay, listen to this. For those of us who may be a kidney, not seen out front in what the Lord has gifted us in or called us to do, here's a news flash. The Lord knows how to bestow honor upon them. That's what Paul's saying. All that matters is that we're faithful to do what we've been asked to do. Read Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. The talents. Because at the end of the day, you know what? I think the things that people are going to be most commended on are those things that no one else saw. God says, you know what? One day you're going to stand before me at the Bema seat, and guess what? You're going to be blessed and you're going to be honored. You know what? We're going to be blown away. You know, there might be this. Let's use this illustration. It might be this little kid. Let's say he's about 10 years old. And he's on fire for the Lord. All right? But, you know, he's just a little kid. But what we don't know about that kid was a prayer warrior. And he prayed for the body. He prayed for the pastor. He prayed for the messages. He prayed for the finances. I mean, God just poured that into that little kid. One day that little kid's going to be an adult. And Lord willing, he'll continue to be that type of person. But let's say that he's not. Let's say he kind of moves on from that. But you know what? We're going to look at that guy and we're going to say, wow, I remember when you were a little kid. And the Lord's going to say, I remember what? You know what I remember? I remember I had him in this body and I just gifted him in a unique way to just pray. And I want you to understand, I listened to that kid. So we don't look at them. We've got such a whack job view of this thing sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if it's just culturally being in the United States of America, if that's why we view this, because, you know, we've got this quarterback view. You know, guys want to be the quarterback. Want to be the quarterback. Imagine if the arm said, hey, look at me, I scored the touchdown. You guys didn't do anything. I mean, you see what I'm saying. That's what Paul's getting at. I pray that what we would take home from all this is we'd be jazzed up. We would be excited about what God has gifted us in and what He's called to do. Whether it's we would just be excited about it. And we would get after it and not put it off. Because it's so, so, so important. So important. Oswald Chambers said this, if I can find it. I will be loyal. I will profess to Him, I will be loyal. Immediately you choose to be loyal to Jesus Christ, you are a witness against yourself. Don't consult others, Christians, but profess before Him, I will serve Thee, I will be loyal, and give other people credit for being loyal too. Body of Christ. See, we're not called to be divided. We've been joined to be united. We need each other. We're on the same team. Look at verse 25. There should be no cynicism in the body, no division. Paul said that there should be no division. Friends, from the Lord's perspective, there should be no division. And the Lord has dealt with the division, as I just stated a while ago, that can occur on two fronts. One person who just thinks they're just overly gifted and they separated themselves from the body, and you guys are to just be so blown away that I'm just blowing you away with these great gifts. Or the other person who separated themselves from the body, who's kind of ashamed maybe of what God's called them to do, and they think it's just this little bitty thing, and they're not doing anything with it. Paul says there should be no division. If you're a kidney, you know what? You're part of the body. You know, if you're a mouthpiece or you're an eye, you're part of the body. We're working together to glorify Christ. It's a wonderful illustration. It's really a childlike illustration. We don't need to be divided because we have so much love poured on. Think about that. And God poured so much love on us. I love Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We're on the same team, and teammates care for one another. When one member suffers, we all suffer too. When one member is honored, we all rejoice with it. And then Paul goes on to say this, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. We're on the same team. To have care for someone is to take time with them. You ever think about that? You know, You guys remember, okay, for you guys who have kids, you remember what it was like feeding your kid? You know, with a spoon, right? I want to ask you a question. You really liked it at first, did you not? Okay, you really liked it at first. You know, you take your time, you know, you know, oh, that's so cute, okay? But did you get to the point where you're like, okay, let's go? Okay, as you can see, I've dealt with that and been convicted of it, all right? There's no care involved in that. See, there's care involved in here you go. Here you go. You're taking time with that child. If you just, okay, let's go. You know, my thing's getting cold. There's no care involved. Paul says we're to have care for one another. Care requires, you know what, being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Being willing to listen sometimes. How many times we just zoned out in a conversation? We're like Muhammad Ali playing rope-a-dope, Thriller in Manila. You guys probably don't know what that is either, do you? You know who Muhammad Ali is? Oh, praise God. You know who Clash of Clay is? So sorry. That was so bad. He's Muhammad Ali. He changed his name. Man, when God does something awesome, you know, like my cousin, my nephew getting saved. It wasn't me. It was the body of Christ working together. From a Chris Tomlin song, from Fred and Stephen, from you guys. You know what? I shared with a few guys here on Wednesday night. Hey, you be praying, man. Be praying. Praying for him. It was an accumulation of things that got that kid saved. The body of Christ pulling together. Caring for one another. Rejoicing with one another. And know what? We suffer with one another. When you guys hurt, you know I need to be hurting. And when I hurt, you need to be hurting. It's a beautiful illustration. Because I know what love looks like. 3:16-18 says this. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now think about this just for a moment. Paul could have simply said this. You guys need to get unified. This is ridiculous. This is incredibly dumb. But how patient was God to work through this simple illustration with these group of folks? Now here's the point to all that. He didn't just want to give them information. He wanted them to receive information. That's why he used that illustration. And it's a very simple illustration. And she's like, hey, take a step back and look at your body just for a minute. What if in the body, what if the hand says this, or the eye says this, or the head says this? I'm thinking after I would, if I was at the Fellowship of Corinth and I read that, and I might have been one of these folks that were like all hottie-totty by what God called them to do, or if I was this person over here that was just kind of, oh, this is just, you know, just kind of a lame little thing. What I would have been like impacted. I was like, oh, I see the bigger picture, God. I got saved. I got put in the body of Christ. I'm a member. You've given me a job. You've given me gifts. Oh, it's all about you. You did this just as you pleased. It's not about me at all. And isn't it so easy to forget that? That's what I want to do sometimes. Stop. It's not to just enjoy what God's called you to do. Don't be bummed out. Let's leave with this on our hearts this morning. Okay? Before we celebrate communion. If we're saved this morning, we've been blessed. We've been blessed with gifts and different things we've been called to do for the Lord. And the Lord has equipped each of us to be a blessing. Think about that. He's equipped us to be a blessing. Guys, look around the body of Christ. Each member is a blessing in a unique way. Think about that. Look around the room. Every person in here is a blessing. It's a blessing. And remember these words from Paul, from the Lord to us. 1 Corinthians 12:18-19. But now God has set the members, each one of them, okay, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Oh, this pleases me right here. This is perfect right here. This is absolutely it right here. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? God knows what He's doing. Some of you guys are so scared what God's called you to do, and you just don't want to. I want you. God knows what He's doing. Some of you guys are thinking, oh, this is not that important. I can blow this up. No, God knows what He's doing. Let's be faithful. Wednesday night, my nephew Cade was sitting in this chair and he was reading or whatever. And I said, hey, Fred, go mess with him. Which that didn't take much prompting. And he goes, hey, what are you doing there, Katie? I don't know what he said. But you know what? He was instantly welcomed. God knows exactly what He's doing. And we need to remember that. Because sometimes what do? Oh, man. Here comes that. Oh, man. God knows what He's doing. You know what's so great about you guys being young? Okay, this is one thing that's great about being young. You hadn't been smacked around by life yet, really. Okay, you get older, you kind of go through some stuff, things happen, you know, and sometimes you lose the ability to kind of dream a little bit. You just settle in, you know. And if I could give you any encouragement. Seek the Lord with all your heart and do what He calls you to do. And that goes for all of us. Because you know what? We're still His kids and we're still children. We just forget that sometimes. Oh, that's that. I'm not going to. I talked to a guy who's over Harmony Outreach. And their ministry is basically equipping pastors in places like Cambodia. Do you guys realize when... You familiar with the killing fields and everything that occurred in there? Did you realize that they lost every bit of their literature? They burned up everything. So a lot of those guys only have third grade educations. A lot of those guys still think the earth is flat. I know that's so hard for us. I mean, that's so beyond us to grab a hold of. So this guy starts this Harmony Outreach, which is about sending pastors to equip other pastors. Because, you know, these guys get saved. And the Lord calls them to this, and they're not blessed like we are. All right. Now here's the point: this guy that started this thing, he was a big time lawyer in Washington D.C. And the Lord says, "I want you to step away from that, and I want you to go spend a year in China, making a lot of coin, set up real well." Friend said, "Man, that's a little radical. That's a little out there." But he went and. He went and he did it, and then the Lord used him to start this thing right here. But what's the point to all that? Who's to say God doesn't want to do that in some of us? You know, He may have us in some out front type of situation, but He also may have called us to do something that we deem so small, but in God's eyes, it's so big. Okay, I've totally went overboard here, so I'm going to stop. Board here, so I'm going to stop.